for invasion. This is Indie Invasion. The leaving. As ever, the sun beat down upon the desert. The heat was oppressive, and all who had the chance kept to the shade. The avatar of Set stood impassive in the full sun, heat rising from its metallic parts in a haze. Nearby, a small lead-to had been constructed, and a number of the Bedouin workers Carter employed knelt, bowing to the unresponsive form. From a short distance away, the sound of hammering and the sizzle of hot brass being quenched could be heard. Workers moved to and fro carrying crates, each carefully packed with canopic jars. Other, much larger crates leaned against the wall of the temple. Men and women, wearing ornate, long-snouted brass helmets, stood guard, keeping a wary eye on any passerby. By the feet of one of these figures lounged a strange beast, a lithe and deadly-looking creature. A strange blend of organic and mechanical parts, whose long, forked tail twitched lightly. Its pointed snout and ears were reminiscent of the visage of Set, as indeed were the helmets of its human companions, the brass and gold gleaming in the afternoon sun. Carter sat in the shade of a large marquee, gin in hand and the table in front of him swathed in papers. To his right was Agatha. She perched on a stool, leaning forward slightly. On her back she bore a machine whose long arm held a quill, which scratched at a roll of paper as she spoke. "What a remarkable piece of kit that autorider is," Carter stated, indicating the device with a wave of his hand. "Damn useful." His voice trailed off as he lifted a sheet from the table. "That's the inventory," Agatha said matter-of-factly. "All the jars are recorded, and the, shall we say, live specimens as well." "I do worry about this, Carter," said Indigo, taking her booted feet from the table and sitting up. "What if your control of these things isn't as strong as you think it is? What if they get loose on the ship?"
"Then there shall be some tidying up to do, I imagine," said Hercule, who was seated on the far side of the tent, intent on repairing the badly damaged brass hawk of Horus. "It is the third stage motivator," he muttered to himself. "It has been damaged badly along with the returning actuator spring. I should be able to fix it, but only to make it operational. This is a job for their professional."
Horus looked on glumly. "That bird is worth more than you are, you tin-pot fool. Break it any further and I'll have you thrashed for all the good it will do."
"You'll do no such thing," Agatha protested. "I simply shall not have it."
Horace quailed visibly and slumped into his chair, taking a large draught of gin. Indigo reached over the table and took a large, leather-bound book from the table. She flipped it open to reveal transcribed hieroglyphics along with Carter's copious notes and sketches. "These rites," she said, pointing at the page. "You're telling me that these words allow you control of that thing?" She indicated the silent, passive avatar with a wave of her hand.
"No," Carter replied. "Not control. Just subdue. It is the addition of this thing," he continued, patting the canopic jar at his side. "That is what allows me a measure of control."
The voices Carter had heard from the jar some days before seemed to give rise to a great power within him. He suddenly found a deep understanding of alchemancy. The intrusion of the other intellect into his own, unlocking secrets he previously did not understand. "I would suggest you take your own one, Indigo. They are rather remarkable," he continued. "Horace has done so, as has Agatha." Horace and Agatha glanced at the canopic jars at their sides. Like Carter's, they were attached with leather straps, long, sinuous cables leading from the sides of the jars into golden fittings near the back of their heads. "It's quite remarkable, dear, quite remarkable indeed," Agatha said, patting her jar, almost as one might a pet. "The energy one gets from them is rather invigorating." Indigo sat back, regarding them suspiciously. "I don't doubt that there's significant power. But at what cost?" she stated calmly. "That worker was driven beyond reason just yesterday. I'll give you that he could have been weak-willed, but I don't like the idea." "I'm sure you'll come to see the wisdom of it, Indigo," Horace piped. "Just wait until..." He was cut off by a sharp glance from the adventurer. "I shall take no advice on wisdom from you, you great fop," she growled. "Enough," Carter exclaimed. "We can discuss this later. For now, we need to arrange passage back to Britain. We need to find a willing captain, preferably one whose love for gold will overcome any undue curiosity." The node had piqued his curiosity, and having sampled the knowledge he could draw from it, Carter was now both excited and determined to find the rumored node in London. "I'll go to Cairo tomorrow on a felucca. I have contacts who know just such a man, I'm sure," Indigo stated. "It will require plenty of money, though, Carter. We don't want to load such precious cargo on any old scupper, and a decent captain may well require a rather large stipend for his silence." Reaching into a small casket at his feet, Carter drew forth a golden scarab beetle, encrusted with turquoise and gems. He slid it across the table. It spun and stopped, all eyes upon it. "That should suffice," he said levelly. "A king's ransom, or perhaps more correctly, a captain's compensation." Indigo stood, scooping up the jeweled beetle and placing it in her satchel, took her leave, calling out in Arabic to a nearby worker who quickly ran towards her tent, snatching up a large duffel bag. "Now, Agatha," Carter said, turning back to the author whose autowriter had been scrawling the entire time, "tell me more about these gangs around the wharves of London. We shall need their cooperation, or their surrender."
Thanks, guys, for listening to today's tales. You can find our Indie Invasion podcast on all podcast platforms, including Podbean, Google, and iTunes. And please visit us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and if you can, support us on Patreon/Indie Invasion. And feel free to email us with any questions or comments at indieinvasion@gmail.com. And remember, guys, don't forget to prepare yourself for the invasion.